Without the Smell of Fire, Chapter 21, The Answered Prayer. According to Jesus Christ, every prayer is answered before it is asked. Before you ask, I will answer, and while you are speaking, I will give it unto thee. Either you have come to a place where you believe this as a factual thing, or else you are still toying with the mysterious thing called prayer, which is merely wishing or hoping that some strange thing will come into action which will change things. But if the prayer is answered before the asking, and this is once known to you, not thought of but known as an actual reality, then will you be headed at last in the right direction for manifestation, for precipitation, for the walking on the water, levitation, and 1,001 other things that your former praying or beseeching consciousness hoped to attain. Once you grasp this truth, even in a small way, you will release all the longing and the wishing. Your prayer then will become a definite speaking of the word, backed up by the "It is done" consciousness. For ages man has prayed for the kingdom to come on earth, yet it has always been here, awaiting recognition. Seems incredible when viewed from the revelation of Jesus Christ. The stepping down into visibility of the invisible heaven, which is already here, is a matter of personal recognition. If you cannot believe that it is so, that it is done, it cannot take form or shape because it needs this recognition to bring it into visibility. Strange as it may seem, you are the only one who can perform this peculiarly interesting action. It is your recognition of the "it is done" state of things that enables you to give it a body and form. Do you begin to understand the command, "Be still and know that I am God"? Have you ever been still? Have you ever been able to stop the whole racket of trying to get things and been able to contemplate the deep, mysterious thing called "it is done"? It is not a thing which can be talked over with another. It is something, an elevation of consciousness, at which you have arrived through the light emanating from pure recognition of truth, and something which transcends thought and is at a level of beholding. The moment this "it is done" state of things takes place within you, the anxiety, the curiosity, the fear all depart, and a divine abandon overtakes you. You relax into peace, yea, a peace which passeth all understanding. The ways and means of the appearing are entirely outside any human thought process. There is nothing that can be done from the outside which will in any way aid or assist the coming into manifestation of this consciousness. Come apart from among them and be ye separate. Suddenly you are beginning to understand the finished thing called heaven on earth, for which you have been praying so long, and for which the nations of the world are clamoring. It is wonderful. The thing you have been seeking has been edging towards you for expression, and you would not. You turn from the real to the shadow. You kept looking for a body and form and not for the soul of the miracle, looking for the loaves and fishes and not for the power which brought them into being. Once you see the power and recognize it, the embodiment will take care of itself. The moment this "it is done" comes to be a reality to you, you will see, for the eye becomes single and recognizes that which is instead of the disintegrating forms of matter. Hence, we see Jesus with the hungry multitude, obliterating every human law. What matter, though, the agriculturist for 1,000 years had said, it takes 4 months to raise wheat, and it must be harvested and milled, etc., etc. No matter, for the answered prayer comes through whenever it is recognized as "it is done." no matter what happens in the relative world. The very one who stands with such force against the principle will suddenly turn about and render a decision that is entirely in agreement with the words. The thief will suddenly give. Something will cause him to act in a manner which he never knew before and against his personal ideas. He may rail against it all after it is over and run to and fro in the desert trying to find the man making the bread who is not there any longer. When you pray, believe that you receive, and it shall be so. Receive in present tense. If you cannot believe, accept, recognize that you receive at the moment of prayer, you will not be able to step it down, for the anxiety, wonder, and excitement will keep it from manifestation. To the thought-taking person, all this is just words, and that is all it is. He is still desirous of seeing it work or wants to talk it over with someone. When you begin even faintly to recognize it is done, then you will see that the bringing of your prayer into materialization is a matter of aligning your temple body with the Christ. This morning, when I awakened, this article came through to me. It was already done. I accepted it and let it come through into visibility. That is why you are reading it now. Had I first discussed it with others, the inspiration would have gone out of it, just as all the life will go out of champagne when it is uncorked. If you want results in this new day, you will have to be silent about the inner plane revelation. First, you must find out whether you actually believe or whether you would like to believe. Whether you are seeking me for the loaves and fishes or whether you are seeking me for the glory of the power. You can profess anything you like with your lips, but what about your heart? Do you profess with your heart? What do you feel? If you want me because of things, then you will get nothing, for the very greediness for things shows plainly that you do not believe the law of heaven on earth. It shows that you are still believing in the teaching of Jesus Christ as a wonder-working power which will give you things you could not otherwise have. You will fail. Your temple consciousness is filled with thieves and dove-sellers, all of which must go before you can make it a fit dwelling for the light. When the greediness is not there, it is because you recognize the inalienable right you have to the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is not some imaginary thing which you must demonstrate in order to show you have power. The kingdom of heaven is a state of consciousness from which all things come into manifestation. It is wonderful. And here and now, if you can grasp the revelation of Jesus Christ. A child can you? Or is the anxiety so keen within you that it veils the lovely heaven here and now and causes you to wander for years in a wilderness of human thought, systems, organizations, and people? Eventually, you will dispense with all this and return to me and have peace. Lately, thousands of people who for years have followed the best approved systems and organizations of truth have found it does not work and have gone back to their pills and beliefs. It is no uncommon thing to hear someone say, "Well, I was in this, that, or the other for 20, 30, 40 years, and now I know that it was all imagination." They are sincere, but never once in the long journey through personalities and organizations did they believe it is done. They said it, but they did not believe it. And it is plainly stated that when you pray, believe that you receive, and it shall be so. Believe, present tense, it has to be accepted as a natural, normal thing, and it shall be so. How, why, when, where is entirely out of your hands. There is no more light coming out of the dark ancient teachings from foreign lands. All the hypnotic, strange voodoo practices that issue forth under grand and glorious names are only more snares. If you think any man has a trick up his sleeve that is going to help you on your spiritual unfoldment, it is because you do not believe in Jesus Christ. And as long as you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you cannot get into the sheepfold. There is no chance for you to enter into the place of realization. You can be so attracted by a robe and a turban or a fine house with the cast-off luxuries of the former rich that you mistake this for me. It is true I move amid luxuries, through poverty and through all the thought forms, for they are nothing but just that. The moment the me is recognized, then they, the thought forms, disintegrate and are blown away by the breath of spirit. When you pray, what do you do? Is your attitude that of a naughty child receiving forgiveness? Behold, I make all things new. This is the cloud of illumination which has suddenly descended upon you, and the "it is done" is seen, heard, felt, touched, and tasted in this glorious light. It is so completely done and comprehended that you come from prayer in a state of continual peace, which passeth all understanding. All, yea, all the understanding of the beliefs through which you have been passing. No matter of what duration the belief may have been when the prayer was made, then comes the enlightenment, the freedom, the stepping up into the fatherhood degree, which immediately steps down the manifestation. This prayer is such that it enables you to look again and see for yourself. You are entering the alone path, the place where you move into expression through recognition. It is wonderful. Look again. What kind of prayer is that? That was the kind Jesus Christ said, pure, unadulterated recognition of the "it is done," which, remember, entirely nullifies all human law, no matter however time-honored. Most of all, you must recognize the ease with which Jesus prayed. There is no hard work about it at all. There is no straining to be spiritual, no changing the voice to what is known as a deep, reverent tone, for there is nothing in all this but emotionalism. All the emotion in the world is not going to produce the fervent quality of "it is done." It will only produce a temporary stimulation, which will eventually leave you cold and without hope. Emotion is merely the quickening of the human consciousness to a point of passion. You may imagine you are very spiritual, but nothing happens. A flower blooms because it cannot do anything else. And so, and so, and so. When will you see the glorious ease with which Jesus moved? See how quickly, after he had fed the multitudes, he moved on. He did not stand in a daze and invite personal worship or personal flowing. He kept telling his hearers to follow me, the Father within. When ye pray, you do not need to find out how it is done from a man. All is told. When you pray, go in and shut the door. You don't take any rules or organizations or men into the secret place. But you shut the door, and when you have done this, the Father consciousness that seeth in secret shall reward you openly. In other words, it will work, just what you have been trying to do for so long. Again, there is no mystery. Jesus spoke the word, raised the dead, opened the eyes of the blind, etc., etc., with no human excitement on his part. He went on to the next thing without having to be glorified. Yet was the power glorified in each instance. Wonderful his abandon. No one to write him up and tell what a wonderful teacher or healer he was, because he kept telling them, "The works that I do ye shall do also, and even greater." So will it be with you when the Christ has come for the second time, and you have experienced it in the flesh and have exclaimed, "Yet in my flesh shall I see God. Yet in this very temple body shall you see God." Do you want to see anything else? If you once see this, will you have need of seeing anything else? What think ye? Verily, ye shall be fed. Don't worry, you will have what you can take from the kingdom, no more, no less. And what you can take is what you can recognize as it is done. Your degree shall be according to your recognition. What you accept comes to abide with you. What you reject passes you by. What do you accept? Do not measure it by the findings of another, or past attainments or failures. If your tent is not large enough, you alone will have to enlarge the borders. And if you are tired of scratching your feet on the sharp pebbles and shells of the shallow waters of personal teachings, you will have to launch out into deep water. It is wonderful, wonderful, yea, heaven and earth are full of thee. Do you understand? Do you grasp the materialized word of God? It is here and now, and it is you. You are the word of God made flesh, and hence you are free into heaven. The Lord's prayer was answered before it was said, but it will never be answered until it is a reality to you, an actuality, and it is done state of consciousness. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Do you believe this is possible because it is already open, and the confident knocking is the accepting of the kingdom of heaven on earth? Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Is that so? Can you ask and receive because you have already received? Seek, and ye shall find, because everything is right here. But all this is foolishness to the human mind, and that is exactly what it should be. The wisdom of God is foolishness to the human mind, and vice versa. The wisdom of man is nothing but an accumulation of human opinions and beliefs that will pass away. In a few years, man will laugh at what he believes today, and will say he has outgrown his childish beliefs. Yet will the belief in God remain eternally the same? There is no changing of this wonderful thing. But all that you believe in today, from a human standpoint, will be swept away later on. So why not be in advance of the parade and see through this nothingness? Well, I want to, but... And so the old personality practically says there is something stronger than God, in spite of all. What say you? Call upon me, and I will answer you. Is it so, or is it? You answer and argue about it, or you go in and possess the land. Walk free from it all, and let this glorious manifestation come through into visibility. Thy kingdom come is the lament of the human mind until it becomes the pure recognition. Thy kingdom is come, here and now, and from this flows the infinite substance of life. Be still then, and know that I am God. Not manufactured by human thought, but am God, here and now, and will remain so forever, no matter however many planes of human reasoning you pass. I am he that should come, do you hear? Or look ye for another? You have to answer this. Your little greediness, measured by the human wants, must be given over to the infinite substance of all, where there is no need for greediness. It is wonderful. Moving out of the limited into the unlimited presence. Too long have you been separated from me. Cast off this limitation and come out into the infinite spirit and know and appropriate the presence. It is wonderful. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that are prepared for those who love the law. The loving of the law is your alignment with the principle of it is done. Then the old Adam cares and fears are gone forever. You understand the limitations of Adam are of such narrowness that they cannot see or hear or appropriate the gifts that are prepared. You do not have to make them, they are prepared already. Do you want them, or do you want to make a demonstration of the Adam consciousness to prove to another that you have more understanding than he has? Do you want spirituality in order to gain more prestige with a handful of human beings and to fill your coffers? Watch. Be still. Do. Have. Be. Take. Ask me. Receive. Believe. Just a few little words for you to guard. Your prayer has been answered. It is well with thee. Do you hear? Answered before you ask. Chapter 22. Notes. You make your own road signs at night by letting your light so shine on them that they become visible. They are there all the while, but are not visible until your light touches them. Do you understand how it is that all things are there, even the answer to your prayer before you ask, but it takes that let your light of recognition so shine, etc.? Do you begin to see the difference in trying to make things happen and just letting them come into place? Wonderful, isn't it? Once in Spain, I saw an old lady going down the road carrying an enormously large bundle. I stopped the car and, after some assurance that I was all right, got her into it, the first one she had ever ridden in. She was going to her little home some 30 miles away. It would take her 2 days or perhaps more. Can you imagine the state of her mind to find 30 minutes later she was set down at her cottage? Breathless, filled with terror and in confusion. She had experienced a miracle as far as she was concerned. Something that ordinarily takes 2 days to perform with hard labor was accomplished in 30 minutes. Nothing to you. Why? Because you are quite familiar with the speed of motors. Ever think you might step up your sluggish consciousness and find out some things as natural that now seem to be miraculous? God is still wonderful, and so are you. Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ will give thee light, just as you gave your road sign light at night. Are you thrilled? I am when I think about it all. The next time the old lady in the story went to church and heard the priest tell about Jesus being over at the other side of the lake, instantly she could understand it. Can you? Step up a little. Come out from among them. I have something to say to thee. This day shalt thou, etc. Do you hear? Want to be in paradise with me this day? In paradise where you do not have to steal enough to live on. Do you? Wonderful, isn't it? What? A son of a rich merchant of India, on arriving at maturity, said to his father, I would be a holy man. So the father gave him his substance and sent him forth. 12 years later, maybe it was 11, or maybe it was 13, or maybe it was less. Shall we stop here and argue about the history of the case? We generally do. A lean, haggard-looking individual approached the home place. The father came forth and greeted his son. Well, son, what have you learned in all your 12, or 11, or perhaps 10, or shall we stop here and begin that again? You see what I'm trying to put over to you. Perhaps a little foolish, but just the same. Years. What have you learned in all your 12 years? And the young holy man said, I have learned how to walk across the Ganges. What? Said the father in great surprise. You have taken 12 precious years to walk across the Ganges when the ferry only costs 2 cents? Ever meet anyone who had spent 40 years doing good things that could all have happened without the bother? Ever find one who had denied himself everything to become holy and had made himself so holy that no one could stand him? Wonderful, isn't it? The mirth of God, the joy of breaking down that silly old idea that God is a long-faced old tyrant and spends his time sitting about trying to catch you in some evil. The glorious laughter of God, the joy of life and light. The lovely words, beloved, now, etc. Feed my sheep are all you need to hear. The laughter of God ringing through the world, breaking the old forms and patterns of human thinking. Wonderful, isn't it? What? Chapter 23, Fear. The thing I feared has come upon me. By fearing it, I gave it the force and power to embody itself in something evil and hateful. The childhood fear that creates a boogeyman out of thin air is not quite as ridiculous as the adult fear which creates out of thinner air a figure or set of situations which will not only bring tears to his eyes, but will also actually annihilate him. If you were to tell a man who was fearful that he was giving to the thing feared all the power it had, he would no doubt laugh at you. For the thing, be it person, place, or object, might be completely detached from him. In fact, he might even protest. He had never even thought of it before. It is of little moment to him that thousands of people live in the same universe with him who are neither afraid nor mindful of the thing that petrifies him with fear. The reaction of everything in the universe is a result of your attitude towards it. Everything must and does act in accordance with the power you give it. The level of consciousness at which you function draws for its support on the accepted race consciousness of the thing. Hence, a savage believing that electricity is the power of an evil god would be backed up by the conscious thinking of everybody at that level, and this, together with his own fear, could precipitate the evil of his belief. Yet millions of people dwelling there in the same world would laugh at his fear and would denounce the results as self-hypnosis. The moment he saw the truth about electricity, he would drop all fear of it as a power of a strange god. He could then acquire the fear, reverence of this newly discovered substance and respect its laws, knowing that as long as he cooperated with these laws, he could count on harmonious performance of many wonderful things. All fear of evil is engendered by the belief in two powers, one good and the other evil, or the distorted belief that God has the capacity to curse or destroy his own creation. The whole of creation is God himself, cursing, damning, and all the other horrible beliefs attributed to God are not in accordance with the law that God is love. If God is the only power in the universe, then everything you see in the universe is God in action, befogged as it may be by a belief in evil. You have only to recognize this presence to shatter the evil belief appearances. Even hell must give up when you realize that. If you make your bed in hell, there am I. If I am there in the midst of hell, then it is heaven. All this simple teaching is for the consciousness that can believe and that has lost much of its double-sided, double-tongued wisdom. If you can, you can. Do you hear? If you can find me in the midst of the evil which you are sustaining by your thought, I will appear to you, and that is the end of the evil. The belief pictures which you are throwing on the screen of me are cut off. Nothing has happened to me. Here am I in the midst of you. It is wonderful. Praise the Lord. You endow the thing you are afraid of with all the power it has over you. A doctor normally is not afraid of morphine or other poisons. He handles them with an impunity, but a drug fiend is scared of them, especially if he is trying to break a habit of drugs. This shows definitely that habits cannot be successfully broken unless fear of the thing is removed. then he, the victim, does not run away from the thing which he has endowed with power. He discovers it powerless to affect him. Every cell of his mind is cleansed of the desire for the drug the moment he sees this. You cannot run or hide from the thing and thereby free yourself from it, for it is within you and will embody again. But once you have taken away the belief in its power, it has nothing more for you. A person whom you have endowed with evil over you is only operating because of your belief in evil. Every time you think of him, you give him more and more power over you until finally he comes upon you. But once you take away this power through the recognition of love, then will you perceive that he disappears from your life as an evil influence. But it makes no difference whether he goes or stays. You are free from it all. Fear of poverty brings out a whole reel of pictures of the poverty, keeps you from getting a job, and holds you out of expression. This, of course, only takes place in the hypnotized thought realm. You, as the spiritual being, can never be out of your place. This is not an affirmation that can be made to happen. It is something that is so and will have to be recognized. Once the fear of poverty is deleted and you move out into the God substance, the pictures that make up poverty will disintegrate before your eyes, and you will go to the level and degree of substance you are able to recognize. It is amazing the power that can be given to an inanimate thing. Jewels have been, in some instances, the apparent cause of death, accidents, and evil of all sorts, because they were believed to possess evil powers. In one instance, after a long series of evil events had taken place attributed to a certain jewel, it was found that the original jewel had been pawned and a cheap substitute put in its place, but with the same power. Red brings me good luck, says one. Yellow makes me sick. Blue is healing, etc., etc. What say? If blue healed, all we would have to do is to paint all hospitals blue, and the doctors would be out of a job. Do you see what all this is leading to? It is leading you to the magnificent power that is already yours, not a power to use. You are that power. You will eventually see this and decree. Well, I cannot help it. 13 is unlucky. Say what you will. And so it goes, and you have the support of everybody in the race who thinks as you do. But there are those who reverse this and say, 13 and black cats are lucky. And so, do you begin to glimpse why Jesus, discovering the reservoir of power within himself, knew his freedom to such an extent he would risk the sum total of race consciousness and go through its most final belief, death? So are you beginning to see the power of the Christ and how it is that now this permeation of the two, spirit and body, is actually bringing forth the God in the flesh through which all things are to be manifested and brought into being. It is wonderful. The thing I feared has come upon me. It has not come upon another, it has come upon me, because it has been in me all the while, and finally I have magnified it and contemplated it within myself to such an extent that it has taken on a body and a form. The giant of the Philistines is a picture of fear embodied. The David is the awakened consciousness with its five spiritual senses that bring him down. David destroys the mental thought structure of the giant, and he collapses. If you have already gone so far that you have put your fear on earth and made a reality of it, you can destroy the thought structure of the giant and see the embodiment crumble to dust. The moment you shut off the stream of thought feeding him, he will begin to totter, and presently, as he has spent the last bit of energy given him, he will disappear. This can happen to the most adamant thing or belief in your life. It is wonderful how you now can take away all life from your fear giant, no matter what his name may be. You have come to the new day. The former things in order have passed away. Do you begin to note that most of the schools of metaphysics are starting at last to take up the idea that thought will do nothing? In reality, they are only finding out what Jesus taught 2,000 years ago. For years, the central theme of the teaching has been think, think, and think, and thereby do what Jesus said could not be done by thought. But now are we in the last days, and every stone shall be thrown down, until not one stone shall remain upon another, and the headstone of the corner of Jesus Christ shall be set in place. All the old beliefs are wearing so thin and are so worn out, they are exposing their own impotency. The power of the drug has gone. It is nothing but personality and psychology. Organizations so often start with the premise, God is love, but end by introducing a heterogeneous collection of fears which cause the members to lose all sense of freedom. I have met many people in what they called the truth, afraid to leave their organization, which was supposed to heal, help, and love, because of the evil that would befall them. What of all this? Ask yourself. Awake from this separated sense of life. Enter into the oneness and be free. A case in point happened daily in a San Francisco building. Two ladies who were in the business of truth used to be controlled by a girl of another faith. The simple little girl was quite unconscious of the power with which she was endowed, but she operated it over two somewhat husky ladies. Why? She controlled them. But they controlled God, and so it goes. Who or what is keeping you from going down in the elevator of life when you want to? What? Is that so? Remember, fearful one, that even Jesus was powerless to do good unless it could be accepted. Do you believe that some personality, condition, organization, no matter however important he or it may be, can cause evil to happen to you? Will you answer whether you believe evil more powerful than good? Do you know of anyone who had more power than Jesus? And yet in some places he could do many mighty works because of their unbelief. If good cannot be forced upon you by Jesus Christ, the great power of the universe, then will you not understand that evil cannot be forced upon you unless you believe in it? And your divine indifference to it causes it to return to the source of its own creation. If the thing you feared has come upon you, stand up to it. Don't run from it. Take away the belief structure of it and see it fall to the ground, a heap of dust. Remember, pay tribute to no personality. No personality is worthy of anything more than your respect. Remember, the moment you break the thought flow to the evil you see, at that moment you have shut off its life power. The thing you feared comes at you again, only to run full on to the sword of revelation, and thereby destroy itself. Chapter 24, The Way Out. Destroy this temple, or body, and in 3 days I will raise it up. I can pick it, the body, up and lay it down. Your body is the temple of the living God. The entire havoc that man has experienced has been through believing the body possessed intelligence and power apart from God. The body as we know it is the only thing in the universe which is capable of experiencing evil, for it has separated itself from the One and has wandered into a far country of belief, opinion, history, and fear. All these pseudo-powers have their origin in judging from appearances. Appearances are the results of seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, tasting the universe through the distorted material senses. Not one of the unenlightened senses can give an accurate or true report of anything. The so-called mind of matter is a liar and the father of it, having no power of its own but to create illusion. This confused mind has a set of vicious laws wherein it sees good and evil, admitting that God is omnipotent, at the same time finding the devil more present and more powerful. As for man, separate from God or living in a body consciousness, his days are few and full of trouble. He shall earn his living by the sweat of his brow. Small wonder, then, he finds himself feeding among the swine, the symbol of human beliefs. Now through a glass darkly, but then face to face. As long as man conceives of separation, he will experience the distorted conditions of matter. And not until he discovers his permanent identity, Father, will he be able to arise from this consciousness of frustration. As matters stand, no material man can pick it up or lay it down. For the reverse is the truth. The body can and does become sick, infirm, aged, and apparently can pick it, man, up and lay it down. And no matter what mental protest or affirmations he makes, the body can and does take a man out of circulation by causing him to be sick, poor, unhappy, etc., all against his will, and man can do little or nothing about it. True, some of the man laws are not exactly fatal, and if the man works hard and follows all sorts of human laws, he may get rid of the disease, but there is nothing sure about it. What cures one may kill another. One man's meat is another man's poison. There is no assurance that anything the human mind knows will prove even halfway successful, although applied with integrity. He may shut his eyes to it all and imagine he is going through the experiences that will do him good, or that God wants him to suffer, or something of that sort. Sometimes he sinks to such a level as to imagine there is purification through suffering. Yet even while acknowledging this, he is trying with all possible force to get rid of the suffering. Yes, there is no hope in him as long as he maintains this separation and this dense ignorance of his permanent identity or father within. Presently, however, he begins to remember, and this memory of something that has been causes him to arise finally from the pigsty of human intelligence and go to his father. His eyes are suddenly opened, and he begins to hear the words of Jesus, "I can of mine own self do nothing." He suddenly discovers the body to be an unintelligent mass of atoms which are controlled by consciousness, and which at no time control consciousness. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, becomes an open sesame to the king's treasury. He has discovered the difference in heart and head thinking. Man has been thinking so long with the head brain that he has forgotten the heart brain, which does not try to produce strange and wonderful results or manifestations, but which announces the fact that they are about to appear. The head brain then becomes the servant of the heart and is able, by this cooperation, to carry the mechanics through to results undreamed of and quite impossible before. The following is an excerpt by Benjamin de Casares from the L.A. Examiner in 1939. "You thought your brain was in your head. That's right. But that is only one of your brains. You have another brain," according to the famous surgeon, Dr. George W. Crile. "Recent advances," he says, "have shown there is another center a second brain in the nerve center in the region of the heart. This center is even more powerful than the head brain because it controls the many miles of the circulatory system as well as respiration and digestion. And Dr. Kreil might have added, it also controls our thoughts in the head brain. For as I pointed out in this column from time to time, the brain in the head is only a converter into consciousness of our wishes, our instincts, and our secret prejudices. Thus, all our thoughts are wish thoughts. And I salute Dr. Kreil in having the courage to put the origin and center of our thought life into the heart region, for the proverb that says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he, is actually and scientifically true. End quote. When the awakened man begins to see just what the body is, he begins to understand, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. He then can literally begin to pick it up or lay it down, for he finds it to be more or less in the nature of a mirror into which is thrown the consciousness he has remembered. The body merely reflects what is in the consciousness, and that is why the body cannot be changed by thought, any more than the reflection in the mirror can be altered, for there is nothing that can be done to change this reflection until that which is causing it changes. Now the mirror reflects all the human thoughts, and man has set about trying to change the picture instead of the thought. This old human thought is the idea of separation that leads man out of the garden into a place of free will. His free will has landed him into a dungeon against which he protests. You cannot put me here because I am innocent. But the jailer answers, I know, but we have you here. The hopelessness of it brings such frustration and futility that man runs and hides his head in the sands like the ostrich is supposed to do. When man discovers his permanent identity as himself and not something he uses, then the mirror, or the body, begins to take on an entirely different aspect. In place of disease, it suddenly manifests health. In place of poverty, it pictures wealth, and so on. In the twinkling of an eye, and as this contemplation of the Father takes place, and man begins to see the attributes of God through his permanent Father consciousness, he is able to change the entire shape, outlook, and form of the reflection of the body or mirror. It is amazing how the recognition of anything in the Father causes the man or body to change instantly and bring out the picture shown to him on the mount. This process is past the reasoning of man, for it is the way of God which is past finding out through thought. It is wonderful. Ye must decrease, I must increase. Eventually the power is entirely taken out of matter, and matter is then found to be an unintelligent mass of atoms ready to take on the consciousness and to perform the works of God. It is only when man sees and understands the helplessness of this body that this very same body can accomplish that which it is utterly incapable of performing. For now it is coming under an entirely new set of laws, some of which are almost impossible to put in words, and none of which can be understood by the human intellection. Who can understand the miracles of Jesus, which took place because of the mind which was in him, and which is also in you? The command, be still and know that I am God, then takes on a rich and deep meaning. The moment you discover your Father consciousness as you are able through this connecting link to contemplate God and the things of God, and the body or mirror then begins to take on the new reflections of harmony, wealth, and health to the degree that you can accept them as natural and possible. It is wonderful how this light suddenly melts the hard, fast belief which has bound you for so long and wipes out the idea that you can make God do your bidding through praying at Him. Hence, though a man were dead, yet shall he be made alive, is true and just. The moment the body is seen to be merely the mirror of reflection, the end of much of the difficulty has taken place. The hard, fast nature of evil melts before the brightness of his coming, and the old laws and patterns which have been held true and eternal are wiped out with ease because they are found to be pictures cast into the mirror by human thought. All this is not a thought-taking process. You cannot think yourself into anything but more evil, because who by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Etc. is true. It is not willpower or affirming or studying lessons. It is pure recognition of the fact that you have a permanent identity within you, which is your real self and which is your point of contact with the universal God. It was this permanent identity called Father, to which Jesus turned and asked or called upon in order to change the picture on the mirror before him. Hence, when we see him performing his so-called miracles, we find him instantly retiring unto the fatherhood degree of consciousness and then suddenly bringing out the new reflection. The old prophet who put his hand in his bosom and brought it out white with leprosy, and repeating the same act again, brought it out whole and well, knew that his body was a mirror upon which was cast the picture of consciousness, man, who separated himself from God, even as you and I began to accept these pictures as the reality, and to build up laws and histories about them, and finally to become so hypnotized by them that even God seemed to be a great deal less than omnipotent. It is wonderful how we are discovering the facts of life through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gradually, the light will dawn upon you that the temple of man, the entire manifestation, is nothing but a series of mirrors into which are cast the pictures of your degree of consciousness. Hence, what you see in the world, you have conceived in mind. And therefore, a man may be a devil to you, and a saint to another. And you may see disease, murder, theft, poverty, multiplied by as many mirrors or bodies as are in your universe. Whatever is in your consciousness is in your universe and is caught up by all the mirrors about you. No one can come to you with any belief whatsoever that is not in your consciousness, however much you may fight against this, and however much you may want to destroy the idea. If it were not in your consciousness, you could not see it or experience it. It has to be in your consciousness for you to be able to recognize it. That is the only place it exists, and that is the only place from which it can be eradicated. Hence, when Jesus saw hunger in himself, he saw it in 5,000 others too. Every mirror or body gave forth a picture of hunger and backed it up by supposedly intelligent proof. Then he retired into the consciousness of his fatherhood degree and found there no such a thing as lack or hunger. And now the picture of his consciousness suddenly cast another reflection on all the mirrors, and they were fed. So is it with everything in your life. It cannot be changed from without. There is nothing you can do with matter. You can change nothing from the matter standpoint. Working with the body and the affairs on the outside is a poor proposition. understanding your permanent identity and assuming the power which is yours through our Lord Jesus Christ, you can change the picture, and hence the reflection will also change. You break the pattern of the human thinking, and the reflection changes immediately. Nothing can or will stay in place in your life except it be held there in consciousness. As soon as it is dropped from consciousness, it is out of the only place it ever existed, and the reflection will disappear just as it does in the mirror when the object before it steps out of proximity of the mirror. It is as simple as that. Believest thou this? Thousands of people have tried to demonstrate health, happiness, and prosperity, and have taken endless courses of lessons to show them how, and yet have found themselves caught in the web of failure. Jesus showed in hundreds of ways that all this working with the outside of the platter, whilst the inside was full of uncleanness, was no way to get results. Do you begin to see why I and my Father are one causes the changes to take place in the mirror or body which otherwise could not have happened? There is no reason to it, and the more you try to reason it out, the farther you go from the simple revelation of the Master. It requires recognition of your union with God through the permanent identity or Father within. The moment you sense this, you will be able to change all discord in your life and bring out the impossible. Remembering this, you stop railing against the pictures shown to you in the mirror or bodies of the world. They are merely catching your state of consciousness, good, bad, or indifferent. And once this is glimpsed, you will stop fighting against the immaterial thing called matter, and understand perhaps for the first time why you are told to put up your sword. If you fight any longer, it is because you are still separated from God and are in a far country of beliefs, battling against reflections which cannot possibly change because of something in your consciousness which holds them into place. When Jacob discovered this, he loosed it, the picture to which he had been holding all night, and let it go. In other words, he discovered that the very thing he was fighting with was creating and sustained by his own thought. If you continue to fight with the sword, you will perish by the sword, for you are fighting an illusion which you are endowing with greater and greater power all the while. Now, anything is possible to you, and you can easily understand why you can go now and do the works of your Father, because the whole universe is a mirror which is to reflect the consciousness of God you have accepted as true and real. Knowing this, go then into all the world and take no thought about the scrip, the purse, the robe, etc., and do not bother with the body, what you shall eat, or the raiment, etc., for now you see that all these things are quite naturally reflected into position by this new elevation of I and my Father are one, and the recognition that the universal Father God is greater than the individualized Father you. You are returning to the Eden you left, lo, these many years, and finding the kingdom of heaven here and now. It is wonderful.